Hello, everyone. Hope you're ready for a great day two here at Build. Let me switch over to the presentation, make sure we're all good. Clicker works. Maybe. Clicker works. Great. So if you couldn't tell from the title, which is Work with Files Everywhere, we're going to talk about files in Office 365, SharePoint, OneDrive, Microsoft Graph, all the good stuff to get the most out of your business data in the cloud. So we're going to start with a quick overview for those that don't know what's available. There's some super helpful resources to get started. graph.microsoft.com. If you leave with one thing today, remember graph.microsoft.com, because it is your place to get started with pretty much everything. Graph Explorer is hosted there, and Graph Explorer is a great tool that lets you simulate your Microsoft Graph REST calls and use either a sample data set that we provide, or you can log in with either your Microsoft account or Active Directory account. And go against your actual real data to test it out and see what's going on. I use this thing daily. It's great. My name is Jeremy Kelly, by the way. I totally forgot to introduce myself. I'm a senior program manager on the OneDrive and SharePoint developer platform team. We provide all of the Graph APIs along with the other server APIs for OneDrive and SharePoint. Documentation is also linked to from graph.microsoft.com. If you're ever looking for what's available, call semantics, there's a lot of great resources in the documentation that'll help you get started. So OneDrive, how many people have files that they actually need to work with every day? A few, most people, hopefully. OneDrive for us means both OneDrive Consumer and OneDrive for Business. And in the terms of Microsoft Graph, it doesn't really matter which one you're talking to. The semantics for talking to them are the same. The references are largely the same. So for us, OneDrive and the Drive APIs are everywhere files are throughout Office 365. A couple basic elements that we're going to see as we look at some code demos in a little bit. We have a drive, which is just a container of files, and a drive item. Most of the operations that you do, whether it's uploading, downloading, copying, all of that stuff is going to happen on the drive item. So that's super basic, super easy to work with. Good thing to remember. On the SharePoint side, so it wasn't always obvious that SharePoint and OneDrive go together, but as a team, we definitely think they do. SharePoint, of course, is made of sites. And lists, and those are your core constructs in SharePoint, all accessible through the graph, and lists have list items. The thing that might stand out here that I'm not calling out explicitly is document libraries, and that's because for us, document libraries are both a list and a drive. So when I want to work with things that are kind of file operations, I use the drive reference to my document library to upload new files to it, download, and when I want to do things like add SharePoint metadata, work with columns, that sort of thing, then I use the list interface. So same resource can be accessed in kind of two different modes, and we'll see that you can easily switch back and forth between the two, so it's not difficult to see what's going on. Integration points. So those are really everything you need to know to get started with coding against OneDrive and SharePoint in the graph. Those five or so basic elements are going to give you all the building blocks. So you might now be wondering, well, where do I actually want to do some of these integrations? We've got the SharePoint framework. So if you work in SharePoint, if you have intranet portals built on SharePoint, we have a new framework in the last year or so. Lets you build using all of standard open source development tools for the web. You can use React, other frameworks to build components that sit on pages. As of 1.4.1, we've introduced a preview graph client that allows you to easily access the graph. And in 1.5, we've updated this as well, so we're continuing to make this easier. One of the benefits you get working within the SharePoint framework is that we handle all of the authentication. We handle registering with Azure Active Directory, so your app, we kind of connect the two manifest worlds together. So when you create a SharePoint framework project, and upload it to your tenancy. It's going to get registered automatically for you, so you don't have to do the manual app registration the way you would in some other examples. OneDrive has a file handler model. Did anyone else know that that existed? Probably not. So file handlers are a great way, if you have a custom file type, to integrate with OneDrive. So what it lets you do is get access to some menu items, and when the user activates your file handler, it will bring up a new window to a service that you host, and you can do whatever you want. So some examples of these in production today, there's an Adobe file handler that lets you work with PDF files using their service. SurveyMonkey also has built a file handler-based solution that allows you to work with SurveyMonkey right from within Office 365. And close to my heart, rich client apps, and in particular, Universal Windows platform. There's a lot of different options for integrating into a rich app, and that's what we're going to take a look at in the demo in just a minute. There is a NuGet package, Microsoft.graph, that wraps some of the heavy lifting of just making calls to the service. That's certainly an option. There is a preview library for authentication for MSAL. This uses the V2 endpoint of Azure Active Directory. What this means is the benefit you get is it works against both consumer and business. There are some limitations still that they haven't quite ported all the way forward. So if you're doing a pure Azure Active Directory solution, you can still use the 1.0 libraries that are available as well. For our demo, I used the MSAL because it made it really easy for what I was doing, and it lets us use target both platforms simultaneously without any work on our part. There's also the UWP Community Toolkit, which is a great resource beyond just accessing Office 365 services. It's out on GitHub. It gives you a whole bunch of different toolkits for login management, works with OneDrive, works with Graph, works with other Microsoft services. I believe it's community contributions as well, so it's continually being updated. That's a great option. And the option we're going to go with today in the demo, which is manage your HTTP client calls directly. So if you actually want to craft the REST calls yourself, which gives you a little bit of extra flexibility at the cost of a little more setup overhead, this is certainly a way you can go, and it's what we're going to take a look at in just a minute. So for our demo, how do we work with all this stuff, and why do I have all this junk up on the console? I thought it would be interesting to, because apparently a lot of the demos this week are IoT-based, to take my handy little Raspberry Pi running Windows 10 IoT, connect it up to a webcam and an infrared motion sensor, and when it detects motion, it's going to take a picture, upload that to OneDrive or SharePoint. It's going to actually send the photo in the SharePoint scenario over to the Cognitive Services API, do some quick face detection on it, and we're going to then upload the number of faces that it finds in the picture back into the SharePoint library. So, sounds really complicated, but as we're going to see, it's actually not that much code. So let's hop over to my laptop. Wrong cable. We'll come over here. And we're just going to take a look at kind of the core of the app. So if I'm building an app from scratch, there's a couple things I need to do. One, I need to start with a new project. In this case, I just started with a new blank Universal Windows project. Once I've got that, I go and I register my app with the Azure portal. And I've got a link back in the slides that we'll take a look at that'll tell you where to do that. That's going to give us an app ID that we're going to take a look at real quick. So once I get the app ID from Azure, I'll be able to use that with some of my calls later on to make sure that our app is who we say we are. So then I need to write some quick login code. We'll see, that's really easy. And then I've got all my business logic. How do I upload? How do I set the metadata? And we're going to walk through those steps. So this is kind of my business logic function here. You can see we're going to sign in the user. We're going to take our photo. We're going to upload it to a document library. We're going to detect some faces. And then we're going to upload the metadata to the doclib. So if we come over here, let's start with number one here, logging in. It seems like this would be really hard, right? Like, I've got this graph ID. What do I need to do? Historically, auth is a complicated piece of code. But for us, using the MSAL library, it's one block that we're going to stick right in here, and we're going to see what it does. So right off the bat, we create this public client application using the ID that we passed in. That gives us a context that we can talk to AAD with. Once we do that, we call acquire token async. We pass in the scopes that we want. So when I registered my app, I had to say what scopes I wanted that app to have. In my case, I said I want to be able to read the user profile. I want to be able to read and write all the files that the user has access to. And I want to be able to read and write to all of the SharePoint sites that the user has access to. So I'm going to pass that string along with it when I authenticate. And it's going to handle all of the process of login. All of the UI that you normally see when you're logging into an AAD site is handled by that one call that I make right there. And the rest of this is just outputting some data so we know that we signed in or that we got an exception. So that was pretty easy. After this point, we are signed in and ready to go, and we can start making graph calls. So let's take a look at what it takes to actually upload our file. Right here, I've got kind of the bones of an upload routine. I pass my file in. I've got the graph endpoint coming in as a URL, along with the token that the login provided. So inside this user credentials object up here is a bearer token that I can use to say that the user's authenticated. We're going to pass that with every request we make to make sure that it succeeds. If we don't pass that token, everything fails and we don't get our data. So that's really the magic of how we make sure the login worked. So when we want to do the upload, to do that token passing, all I need to do is add the authorization to the headers. So we're going to put this right here. So I've created a request. It's going to be a put request because I'm uploading a file. I'm passing a URL. And I've got my bearer token that I'm adding to the headers. Once I've got that, when I execute that request against the server, it's going to succeed, and our file's going to go up. The rest of this is just opening the stream. I set the content of the request as that file data, and then I send it using the HTTP client. A lot of this is handled directly by the various libraries that I referenced earlier. So in many cases, you won't actually need to do this, but I want to show you what the URLs look like, so you can kind of learn what that object model is going to be later on. So this is our low-level file upload. With this, we should be able to put any file we want into SharePoint, OneDrive, and we should be good. But we need the URL up here to actually hit the right graph endpoint. So that's going to be what we're going to look at next. So the upload, kind of the outer layer here, we've got another section, another block. I mentioned before that it doesn't really matter whether I'm logged into OneDrive consumer or business. I'm going to get the right place based on the user's login context. The code I write is going to be the same. In my case, I do want to switch, though, between uploading to a SharePoint document library and uploading to my OneDrive, whichever one it is, whether it's consumer or business. So if I'm uploading to SharePoint, and I've got a combo box in our demo app that just lets me switch between those two, first, I'm going to have this graph API prefix, as I called it. I'm just string building here, nothing fancy. And that's going to go to graph.microsoft.com/v1.0. So we're going to start building there. For a SharePoint document library, I'm going to go to sites. I'm going to add the ID of the site. And if you look here, you'll see that this ID is rather long and not terribly friendly. That's why I put it into a variable and hard-coded it up above, because it makes this line of code get really long. But what that's doing is concatenating your host, where your tenancy is, the GUID associated with the site collection, and the web that you want to talk to. So if you're familiar with how SharePoint site collections and sites work, you kind of need all three of those bits to say this is a unique thing that Graph will know how to route to. So I take that, I pass that in here. Then I say I want to access the drives. So like I said, document libraries are both lists and drives. In this case, I'm uploading a file, so I want to talk to it like a drive. I give it which document library ID I want, which I've pulled out earlier and hard-coded. Then I ask for the root. This is important. You actually need a path that says, give me the containerness part of this. So we kind of have a multi-layer bit in the drive. You access the drive, you ask for root. or another path if you're working with some different path. We give it a name, so I'm passing whatever my new file name is here. And then to do an upload, I request the content stream. So I do a slash content. And I want to get back some information from this call that I don't normally get. So I'm going to select back the SharePoint IDs. And that means that when it uploads the file, it's going to come back and say, give me all of the IDs that I might need to reference this in a SharePoint context, even though I started out in a Drive context. When I'm uploading to OneDrive, I don't need quite as much of that complexity. All I need to remember is me drive root. And me drive root is going to give me my OneDrive based on my user's logged in context. Consumer, it'll give me the consumer root. Business, it'll give me my OneDrive for business root. And from that point on, it's working with a drive. It doesn't matter semantically which one I am. There are a few features that don't work in one context or another just based on the fact that the service doesn't offer them. For example, in consumer, you can request special files, like in my case, my music folder, which typically doesn't exist on the business side. So we give you some shortcuts on the consumer for special consumer features that don't exist on business. They'll return an error if you call on the business context, but it's pretty easy to handle that case. Okay, we're getting close to the end here. So we've got an upload routine. We know we can take a file and upload it. Now we want to actually update some SharePoint metadata. The only difference here is that instead of doing a put, I'm going to do a patch. .NET Framework doesn't have a built-in patch, so I had to create a new context here and say it's a patch. I pass that header, the bearer token again right here. And I'm setting the content equal to a JSON blob of what fields I want to update in SharePoint. And this is pretty easy to format and create. And we're going to do that next. So let's get demo 5. We're going to craft a new endpoint, similar to our old one, but slightly different. And that, in this case, we're going to go sites. Instead of the drives, we're going to go to the lists. We're going to go to the list we want, slash items, the item ID, the fields, and we're going to upload. At that point, we should have a working file uploader. And I've already pre-compiled onto the Raspberry Pi to make this a little faster, because we're getting pretty close to time. And let's see what we get over here. So I've got my login screen. I got this right from that one line of code that I showed earlier. Let me find my mouse so I can set the focus. That's going to log us in. And we're throwing some errors. There we go. So those first errors were because it tried to take a picture and upload before we'd signed in. So that's just the stack trace of the login failure. Now that we've signed in, you can see we're getting data back from SharePoint. And we are, let me pause this so we can take a look. In this case, you can see we uploaded. Let me, that's not a touch screen, so that's not going to work. I uploaded some to SharePoint. So here's the first graph call we made. That gave us back a download URL and the SharePoint IDs block right here. I used those SharePoint IDs to put the data into the library. And you can see that, at least in this last one, we called the endpoint for the cognitive services and detected some faces, and it detected at least three of you were looking enough at the camera that it was able to find you. So we'll switch really quick back over to the laptop, and I'll show that that all worked into SharePoint. And if we refresh this, you can see well, here's a few seconds ago, about a minute. There's the photo we took. So not a whole lot of code to make this work. We needed to do the upload. We needed to do the metadata patch. The rest of it was really the business logic, making sure that I had all of the the camera and the sensors and the cognitive services. The cognitive services is literally about one line of code to make that work and do the face detection out of the image. I was super impressed with how fast I could do that. So like I said, one thing to remember, graph.microsoft.com. It's your home if you're working with graph stuff. You'll find everything you need there. And also user voice. We are always listening, taking feedback, looking for feature suggestions. If there's something in the API you need that you don't see, put it on user voice. We use that to inform our backlog of features that go into what shows up for OneDrive and SharePoint. So thanks everyone for coming out. I hope you learned at least a little bit about what we've got. Please evaluate the session. Let me know how I did, and enjoy the rest of your day.